Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter 12, Devotional Service. This chapter is divided into three sections. There are 20 verses, and this chapter ends the middle six chapters. 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita are divided into three sections of six chapters each. The middle six chapters are the most important and the essence of Bhagavad Gita. The first six and final six chapters are protective coverings of these middle six chapters, and this 12th chapter is perhaps one of the most important. Please listen carefully as we hear this 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Bhakti Yoga, Devotional Service. In verses 1 through 7, which is the first of three sections, there will be a comparison by Krishna between the personalist and the impersonalist. Arjuna inquired, which are considered to be more perfect? Those who were always properly engaged in your devotional service, or those who worship the impersonal Brahman, the unmanifested? So this question of Arjuna's is very significant. It is actually a fundamental, transcendental question which has been bandied about, practically speaking, from time immemorial. The question of which is the superior understanding of the absolute truth, the impersonal or the personal? And we will see in this chapter that Krishna will answer it once and for all, most authoritatively. Krishna then says, those who fix their minds on my personal form and who are always engaged in worshipping me with great and transcendental faith are considered by me to be most perfect. So Krishna's answer here is the final conclusion. He has definitively said the personalist path, the devotee path, the bhakti path is the most perfect. And we recall at the end of chapter 6, at the end of that first section of Bhagavad Gita, the first six chapters, Krishna said a similar thing, that of all yogis, he who always abides in me with great transcendental faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is the highest of all. So Krishna, throughout Bhagavad Gita, has remained consistent. And in this verse that we've just heard, this second verse of chapter 12, he has definitively said, the personalist path, the path of bhakti, devotional service, those are the best, topmost persons in transcendental life. Krishna continues, but those who fully worship the unmanifested, that which lies beyond the perception of the senses, the all-pervading, inconceivable, unchanging, fixed and immovable, the impersonal conception of the absolute truth, by controlling the various senses and being equally disposed to everyone, such persons engaged in the welfare of all at last achieve me. This is similar to what Krishna said in chapter 7, when he said, Bahunam janmanam ante gyanavam mam prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sadurlabha. That after many, many, many births and deaths of this impersonal path, one finally comes to the conclusion, Vasudeva Sarvam Iti, that Krishna, the person, the supreme person, the God of all gods, is everything. And such a person surrenders. And we shall find at the end of this Bhagavad Gita that Krishna commands Arjuna to surrender. And surrender means the personal path, the bhakti path. Here Krishna just said that such impersonalists, after a long time, at last, now in this next statement, Krishna gives more reasons why it is not the preferred path, the impersonalist path. For those whose minds are attached to the unmanifested, impersonal feature of the Supreme, advancement is very troublesome. The Sanskrit word klesha. Klesha means trouble, suffering, painful. That is the impersonalist path. It is very difficult. It's not natural. Listen to what he says now. To make progress in that discipline is always difficult for those who are embodied. Well, who isn't embodied? Basically, Krishna is saying this impersonalist path is difficult for anyone and everyone. So, the impersonalist path is simply troublesome. We heard in chapter 9, what did Krishna say? Susukam kartum avyayam. It's easy, it's joyfully performed, the personalist path. Here, klesha, trouble, difficult, painful. Why would someone want to take the path that's troublesome, difficult, and painful? Whereas the personalist path is easy, sublime, blissful, happy. Krishna continues, but those who worship me, giving up all their activities unto me, and being devoted to me without deviation, being engaged in devotional service, and always meditating upon me, thus having fixed their minds upon me, O son of Pritha, for them, I am the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. The impersonalist, he is trying or she is trying to achieve liberation by their own effort, by their own endeavor. But here, for the devotee, the personalist, Krishna helps them. What did he say? I am the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. The impersonalist wants to do it on their own strength. The devotee leaves everything to Krishna. So, at the end of this section, we have seen, there's no doubt, the personalist, the devotee, the bhakti path, the path of devotional service, is by far superior than those who want to take to the impersonalist path. They would, I would have to say, are less intelligent. Now, in verses 8 through 12, which is our second section of this chapter, Krishna will explain divisions of faith. He will start out at the topmost level and work down to the lowest acceptable level according to Krishna's estimation. Please listen very carefully. Just fix your mind upon me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and engage all your intelligence in me. Thus you will live with me always without a doubt. So this is the highest platform Krishna is explaining. This is the platform which he has already mentioned in many places throughout the first 12 chapters. This is the topmost platform of Krishna consciousness. Always thinking of Krishna. Using everything, your mind, senses, and intelligence in Krishna, in His service. When we say in Krishna, we mean to engage in His service by hearing, by chanting, by remembering, by praying, by serving. All the different 9 processes of bhakti. This is the direct method. He said this at the end of the 9th chapter. Just become my devotee, always think of me. He has repeated this throughout the Gita to emphasize, this is the way. Now, let's say somebody says, I cannot do this. Krishna, being so kind, he gives you a second option. Listen, my dear Arjuna, O winner of wealth, if you cannot fix your mind upon me without deviation, then follow the regulative principles of bhakti yoga. In this way, develop a desire to attain me. So, when he said the regulative principles of devotional service, this means accepting a spiritual master, which he said in chapter 4, my dear Arjuna, just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. This is why we accept a spiritual master. The spiritual master begins to engage us in devotional service by a regulated process. That is the purpose of accepting a spiritual master, so that we can become gradually, steadily engaged in this bhakti yoga, devotional service. Technically, it is called vaidhi bhakti, worshipping God in loving devotion through rules and regulations. But we should keep in mind, what is the goal? The goal is to reach this stage which he mentioned in the previous verse, to be always thinking of Krishna. So if you cannot come to the immediate topmost platform, he's giving you an option. Okay, just begin to engage in regulated devotional service under the guidance of a spiritual master. You will come to the perfect stage. You will reach that stage where you are always thinking of Krishna. That we call in the bhakti path Raganuga Bhakti. Spontaneously always being engaged in service to Krishna. In the Raganuga stage, one is spontaneously attracted to serving Krishna. In the Vaidhi or regulative stage, there is no spontaneity. One does not have a natural inclination. But by following the orders of the spiritual master strictly, then the natural, dormant, spontaneous love of Godhead, which is already there in the heart, is awakened and evoked. This is nicely explained by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Nectar of Devotion or Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which is the science of devotional service. So this love of God or devotional service is natural to everyone, which is why Krishna said, just always think of me, because that's our natural position. But right now, we are under the influence of the material energy. And therefore, this natural love of Godhead is lying dormant. But by the process of Vaidhi Bhakti, or following the orders of the spiritual master, that dormant love of God is aroused. Now someone may say, okay, I can't even do that. I can't accept the spiritual master. I can't engage in devotional service. Is such a person lost? No. Krishna gives another option. Listen, if you cannot practice the regulations of bhakti yoga, then just try to work for me. Krishna already explained this as karma yoga. Karma yoga means acting or working for Krishna's account, Krishna's benefit. For by working for me, you will come to the perfect stage. Just see, even on this option, which you could say is the second best after the topmost, Krishna says, even if you cannot do bhakti yoga rules and regulations, if you just work for me, you will come to the perfect stage. This is so nice. This is why Krishna is the best God of all gods. He gives you options. See how nice Krishna is. You can't come to the topmost platform? Okay, try option number one. He says you can't do that? Option number two. Just like sometimes you'll make a phone call to a business And then they'll say, press option number one, press option number two. Krishna already gave this here in Bhagavad Gita. This is nothing new. He's giving you options. Krishna is so kind and lovable. We're not done yet. Someone may say, I can't just work for Krishna. Krishna gives you a third option. Listen, if, however, you are unable to work in this consciousness, karma yoga, working for Krishna, then try to act, giving up all the results of your work, and try to be self-situated. This is what we call renunciation. At the beginning of chapter 18, Krishna will explain renunciation and the renounced order of life. Here is a basic definition of renunciation. Try to act, giving up the results of your work, and be self-situated. We heard about self-situated in chapter 2. Krishna was telling Arjuna, don't be involved in the Vedas, which are mostly dealing with the materialistic modes of nature. Just be situated in the self. So when you're detached from the results of your work, this is how you become self-situated. Now someone may say, I can't do that either. Krishna gives yet another option. If you cannot take to this practice, meaning being detached from the results of your work, then engage yourself in the cultivation of knowledge. So the Vedas deal with two departments of knowledge, material knowledge, spiritual knowledge. Obviously, if you've been following Bhagavad Gita, spiritual knowledge is superior and inferior knowledge is inferior. So therefore, if you cannot be detached from the results of your work, then engage yourself in spiritual knowledge. At least you can read Bhagavad Gita. Who out there cannot spend a few minutes every day just reading Bhagavad Gita? Even one verse a day starts you on the path. Everyone can develop knowledge by reading Bhagavad Gita. Krishna continues, however, better than knowledge is meditation. And we learned in chapter 6 and thus also in chapter 8, meditation means to think about Krishna in the heart. And I'll give you a very easy meditation. A very easy meditation. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Who can't do that? Who wants to give me the excuse that they can't even do that? That is the topmost meditation. Just meditate on the sound, because Krishna's name and Krishna himself are exactly the same. That is the meaning of absolute. The name, the sound, and the person are exactly the same. And better than meditation is renunciation of the fruits of action. For by such renunciation, one can attain peace of mind. So many times throughout my 30 plus years of preaching Bhagavad Gita, so many people, no matter where I go, America, South America, India, Swamiji, please, how do I get peace? Krishna is telling us in Bhagavad Gita how to achieve peace. And it's not through the United Nations, I'm sorry. Nowhere in Bhagavad Gita does Krishna mention the so-called United Nations. No. Be renounced, detached from the fruits of your work. We learned in chapter 2, and chapter 5, you want peace? Give up selfish material desires. There's lots of ways to achieve peace, but we are generally lazy and we don't follow the advice of our godly father, Krishna. Your father, God, is telling you, you're his children, he's telling you, you want peace? Give up your independent, selfish, material desires. Become detached from the fruits of your work. Peace is yours. Now, the final section of this chapter, verses 13 through 20, Krishna will go into a nice explanation of the topmost pure devotee. Remember, when he was giving the different classifications of faith in the previous section, he started out by saying, just always think of me, engage your intelligence in me, just always be in Krishna consciousness. This is the person Krishna now wants to describe, that person's qualities and symptoms. One who is not envious. And I remind you, envy begins with envy of God. Even Jesus, when he was asked, what is the greatest commandment, said, love God with your whole heart, your whole soul, your whole mind. If you're not envious of God, that's how you can love Him. If you're envious, you cannot love God with your whole heart, your whole soul, your whole mind. And then Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. It is faulty to think that I will love my neighbor and at the same time neglect loving God. No. Various groups, humanitarians, they think, well, but there's no need for discussion of God. We'll just try to love humanity or society. But no. Jesus confirmed, and it's confirmed throughout Bhagavad Gita. First, you have to love God. Otherwise, if you don't, your so-called love of humanity will be defective. It'll be based on a wrong understanding. So envy begins with giving up envy of God. Then we can talk about giving up envy of my fellow man and envy of animals, which is why in Krishna consciousness we don't eat animals, because we are not envious of them. Who does not think oneself a proprietor? We learned in chapter 5, at the end, in the peace formula, Krishna said, I am the proprietor of everything material and spiritual. And who is free from false ego. The pure devotee has no false ego. Pure ego is, I am Krishna's part and parcel. I am the eternal servant of Krishna, nothing more, nothing less. Anything else is called false ego. And who is equal in both happiness and distress. We learned in chapter 2, Krishna advised Arjuna, tolerate. Happiness and distress in the material world will come and go, just like the change of seasons from winter, spring, summer to fall. Happiness and distress will come and go like waves. Krishna said, there's no other alternative but to simply tolerate. And who is always self-satisfied, controlled, and engaged in devotional service with determination, whose mind and intelligence is fixed on me, such a devotee of mine is very dear to me. Krishna continues his glorification of the pure devotee. The devotee for whom no one is put into difficulty and who is not disturbed by anyone, who is equipoised in happiness and distress, fear and anxiety, is very dear to me. Many times we have heard in Bhagavad Gita, the devotee is equipoised. The material world by nature is a world of duality. The devotee remains steady, equipoised, not disturbed. We learned in chapter 2, dhira. The devotee can not be bewildered, is not bewildered at the time of death, at the change of body. Why? Because he's sober. His senses and mind have been controlled. He is fixed on Krishna. Therefore, he is not disturbed. My devotee, who is not dependent on the ordinary course of activities, who is pure. How does a devotee remain pure? No eating of meat, fish, and eggs. These things contaminate the mind and body. A devotee remains pure by not engaging in illicit sex. Sex has only one purpose, to procreate a living entity, and when that child is born, teach that child how to become a devotee of Krishna. Any other sex is sinful and contaminating. It makes the consciousness dirty. When we say dirty consciousness, we mean to say the mind is not thinking of the pure, all pure God, but one is thinking of the body and the material world. That's dirty. The devotee remains pure by not taking intoxication. What is the key word? Toxic. When you drink alcohol, when you take drugs, you are toxic. You are taking a poison. You are defiling the very body that God gave you. This is the fault of intoxication. You are destroying the property that doesn't belong to you. Your body does not belong to you. This body belongs to God. Therefore, you have no right to pollute it. Therefore, no intoxication and no gambling, because gambling produces a cheating mentality. So by following these four principles very strictly, you remain pure. A devotee is expert, without cares, free from all pains, and not striving for some result. In this sense, striving for some personal result. The devotee, we learned already in chapter 9, the devotee is always endeavoring to serve Krishna. That's different. Here, striving for some result means the devotee doesn't have his own separate agenda. His agenda is Krishna's agenda, simply to serve Krishna. Such a devotee is very dear to me. Krishna continues, one who neither rejoices nor grieves, who neither laments nor desires, and who renounces both auspicious and inauspicious things, such a devotee is very dear to me. This still, Krishna is referring to the material world, the world of duality. Auspicious and inauspicious refers to the material world. The devotee, because he's transcendental, rises above all material considerations. Everything the devotee does is for the satisfaction of Krishna, not whether something is auspicious or inauspicious. If Krishna wants, the devotee is ready to go to hell. If Krishna wants, the devotee is ready to go to heaven. Lord Chaitanya gives us a very nice understanding of this concept. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundaring, kavitang va jagadisha kamaye, mama janmani janmanishware bhavatad bhakti arhoiti ki twai. My Lord, I don't want wealth, I don't want popularity, I don't want to enjoy women, I don't want a better material life, and in fact, I don't even mind if I have to take birth after birth again, if that's your desire. Bhavatad bhakti arhoiti ki twai. My Lord, I only ask that you allow me to render some service to you freely without any remuneration, no expectation. I want to render causeless, pure, unalloyed service to you. And Lord Chaitanya further explains, but I do expect a salary. And what is that salary? Love of God. I want the salary of ecstatic love of God. Nothing material. This is the mark of a devotee, a pure devotee. One who is equal to friends and enemies, who is equipoised in honor and dishonor, heat and cold, happiness and distress, fame and infamy, who is always free from contaminating association. What is contaminating association? It means people who are engaged in these four sinful activities. meat eating, illicit sex, intoxication, gambling. Stay away from persons you know that are engaged in any of these activities. You do not need to associate with them, because by their association, you will become contaminated. The human being is a social animal. Depending on who you associate with, you are going to take on those qualifications. If you hang out with a butcher, if you associate with a meat eater in due course of time, you will take on those symptoms. If you associate with a sex monger or a drunkard or a gambler in due course of time, you will become influenced and you will fall down from your pure status as pure spirit soul. Who is satisfied with anything? A devotee leaves everything to Krishna. If Krishna wants me to be poor, I'm happy to be poor. If Krishna wants me to be opulent, I'm happy to be opulent. The Pandavas, for instance, they were with Krishna even when they were living incognito in the forest, but they were blissfully engaged. We have many examples of great kings, Maharaj Ambarish, Parikshit, Yudhishthir, many examples of great kings living in opulence, but they still were pure devotees of Krishna. So it doesn't matter. In the material world, the world of dualities, anyone can become Krishna conscious if they follow this Bhagavad Gita. Who doesn't care for any residence? In our line, the bhakti line, we have the examples of the six Goswamis who were so detached, they were living in Vrindavan under a different tree every night. They didn't care for any residence. Wherever there is the opportunity to serve Krishna, that is what they wanted. Even Lord Shiva told his wife Parvati, "My dear wife, O lovely faced woman, the pure devotee, whether he's in heaven or hell, doesn't make any difference. The pure devotee always engages in his service or her service to Krishna. Who is fixed in knowledge and who is engaged in devotional service." Things are being repeated by Krishna for emphasis. Again, engaged in devotional service. How many times have we heard Krishna say this? Perhaps in every chapter, Krishna has pounded this point, engaged in devotional service. Such a person is very dear to me. Just see how Krishna feels about his pure devotee. Those who follow this imperishable path of devotional service. Krishna said this also in chapter 9. Susukam kartum avyayam. This path of devotional service, bhakti yoga, Krishna consciousness, the path of Bhagavad Gita is everlasting, imperishable. Whatever percentage you can accomplish in this life, in your next life you will pick up from where you left off. There's a continuum. And who completely engage themselves with faith. You want faith? Here's how to get faith. One of the purposes of this Bhagavad Gita and studying it daily is that your faith becomes strong. And another way your faith will become solidified is to associate with other persons who are practicing Bhagavad Gita. We call that sadhu sangha. What's a sadhu? That was explained by Krishna. A sadhu is a practitioner of Krishna consciousness, a practitioner of bhakti yoga, a practitioner of Bhagavad Gita. So if you know someone who fits that description, that is who you associate with, and what will happen? Your faith will become very, very fixed. No one can shake you. And making me the supreme goal of life, such persons are very, very dear to me. We should, every one of us, make Krishna the goal of our lives. Some people They make the goal of their life material advancement, a better job, better living condition, making it in the material world. Once I met a young man in Panama, and I said to him, "So what is your goal of life?" And he said, "I want to become an Indian version of Donald Trump." And I laughed, because such a person does not know what is the real supreme goal. Even if you become the richest man in the world, at the time of death, bye-bye, everything that you have accomplished, you can't take one paisa, one penny with you. So what did you do with your life? You struggled, you suffered, you tolerated for something which at the end you have to leave. Is that intelligent? No, obviously not. Here Krishna is indicating, what is your ultimate goal? Shreyas. Shreyas means the ultimate auspiciousness. And Krishna is saying, that person who makes me, Krishna, the ultimate goal, such a person is very, very dear to me. And this is what Bhagavad Gita is promulgating, that we should make Krishna the ultimate goal of our lives. You want to begin? You want to start? Are you convinced now? After hearing 12 chapters, are you finally convinced? Then prove it. Put your hands together and from the core of your heart, cry out to Krishna. Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Rama! Hare Rama! Rama Rama! Hare Hare!